This is the order of battle!
This is an Operation Recall concept creator interview. Back in December, I had a lot of fun sitting down with Ian Stoops. He was the concept creator for Lilith, who is the paratrooper in Operation Recall. It was a joy to have that conversation and to go back and listen to it again. So I hope you enjoy it as well. Let's get into it.
I was born in 96, when I was old enough to have G.I. Joes and toys of that nature. The brand was at an interesting crossroads because there was a lot of different things going on in the late 90s and early 2000s for G.I. Joe. And the little guys, they were just wrapping up G.I. Joe versus Cobra and just about ready to get into Spy Troops and then Valor versus Venom. With the big guys, which is what my first introduction was, they were just wrapping up the Classic Collection series and moving into the successor. It was essentially this Classic Collection, but without that name, like when Coca-Cola dropped the Coca-Cola Classic.
Right.
They're just wrapping up the Timeless Collection, and they're just going to start on the 40th anniversary. So there's a lot of different things going on, which is why my collection is so diverse.
You are sort of in that same group as like Joel. You guys are kind of the younger side of G.I. Joe collectors, which I love because it seems like everyone in the Joe community is like closing in on 50. So it's nice whenever, although I guess if you tell people your age, they always give you shit about it, right?
Too old, too young. What are you doing? Why wrinkles, bags under your eyes? What are you like 40?
Do you do other stuff outside of G.I. Joe or is it just G.I. Joe? Is it mainly G.I. Joe? Like, where's your line in that sand?
I do have a lot of Action Man. The British license of G.I. Joe.
Nice. Is that like the larger 12-inch?
Yeah. In terms of build and construction, most of them are virtually identical to the 60s G.I. Joe and the 70s G.I. Joe. Everything about it is the same with the exception of a few minor details.
Like the underwear?
Uniquely molded pelvis, yes.
Yes. When you sent me that link for your 12-inch collection and the story,
yes.
The way you had it broken down with Adventure Team and everything, was that mostly Action Man stuff or was that mostly like American G.I. Joe?
All of the figures and that website that I sent you are my American G.I. Joe Adventure Team.
So when do we start seeing that Action Man added into this?
I don't have them, say, posted to a webpage like I do with the Adventure Team set. But I am on a couple of Action Man forums, and I have several posts there that you could see them through some unique, let's call it, web page navigation.
So then how do you go from being a child of Valor versus Venom all the way back to the 60s G.I. Joe and then crossing the ocean and doing Action Man? Which, I mean, there's a lot of
connective tissue.
You know, the flocking and the kung fu grip, I mean, they came from Bob Reakin, right? And with Action
yep.
Man. So how does a kid of Valor vs. Venom go all the way back to the 60s and then across the ocean?
The first G.I. Joe that I had was a G.I. Joe called the Army Desert Infantry. And like I said, he was a 12-inch figure released in probably the late 90s or the very early 2000s. Maybe because it was first, that's where my direction started going in a bigger way. So getting more 12-inch figures later on, one of the Timeless Collection Adventure Teams, that's the Secret Agent.
Yeah.
That had a reproduction Adventure Team guy built almost like the 70s again.
That's the one with the red bulletproof vest, right?
The red bulletproof vest and the fake mask that he can wear.
Alexander and I have both the old Adventure Team one and that Timeless Collection. We have both of those. I love that set. I mean, that mask is Zartan's mask in 1984.
Yeah, I can definitely see that connective tissue.
I mean, it's the same, like the little mustache and everything. If you put them side by side, I mean, it's that was what originally like made me interested in that set. You started with Timeless Collection and the modern 12-inch, and that drove you all the way back. I think that's amazing. I wish more of us 3 3/4 collectors and even modern collectors went back to some of the 12-inch stuff.
You know, between the 12-inch figures that I did have and the book by, I think it's Vincent Santelmo, and that book is, if you talk to guys or collectors, it's pretty controversial, apparently. But that book goes all the way to the 60s, and that's what drove me to get other 64-style Joes, and then I got more Adventure Team Joes, and I ended up with almost the entire Adventure Team just by nickel and diming it over like a decade and a half.
The way I explain Adventure Team to a lot of 3 3/4 collectors, a lot of O-ring and modern collectors that don't mess with 12-inch, is that Adventure Team is the bridge between 12-inch G.I. Joe and 1982 Real American Hero. Because it's still the military, but it's super adventure-y. Whereas, you know, our G.I. Joe was way sci-fi, fantasy, layered on top of a framework of military. So I always think like that is for anybody that's a small Joe collector to get into the 12-inch. I always recommend not starting with 64, but starting with Adventure Team.
Right.
Get yourself one little flock-haired dude with a kung fu grip and you're good to run. Although I guess at this point, a lot of those hands need to be replaced.
Good thing I know a fantastic place to get them.
Who do you use to replace your hands or to restring your Joes?
Joes, I can restring myself. On one of my Action Man forums, I found a technique of stringing the elastic in a special way to mimic the look of the old without having to deal with a bunch of crimps on the elastic to shorten it and things like that. And also just careful taking apart of my 64-bodied Joes and studying how they're assembled and then carefully putting them back together again.
Nice. So we've used, I don't remember his last name, it's Scott is his first name. And I've used Cotswold. But Scott sets up with Chuck and Ace Allgood and a few others at Kentuckiana and Toyland and a few other places. I wish I could remember his last name, but he has restrung a couple Joes for us. And then Cotswold is selling sort of a bootleg Adventure Team body and modern flocked heads. And so I've picked up a couple of those just to do like customs with Alexander because, you know, he's got like the all white flocked hair, which never came out in the Adventure Team.
No, but it makes one think of Race Bannon.
It does. Have you read any of Jim Beard's books?
Yeah, I actually sometimes message him on Facebook and bother him.
We've interviewed Jim a couple times because we found his international action hero books and fell in love with them.
Adventure Command International.
Yes, Adventure Command International. And in the second book, Sam is a white-haired guy. And so we had to go get a white-haired head so that A could make a Sam. And when we were doing that, we were at Cotswold's booth, and Cotswold had both, you know, a white hair, white beard head, but he also had an African-American body and head with the white hair. And so he was like, Dad, I need both white-haired guys, both Caucasian and the African-American. And I was like, well, I guess that's what we're going to do today.
Right.
Super affordable. And because they're modern, there's a lot less break risk with a 10-year-old, 11-year-old playing with them. I love that you're already aware of Jim Beard's books and are a fan of them. I adore them, and I'm waiting for the third.
I actually pointed out a typo to Jim probably about a year ago. I was reading the first book because that was the one that had to be edited heavily because it started out as an official G.I. Joe story.
Yes.
I pointed out an instance where he'd forgotten to switch it from Joe to DC. I was like, hey, Jim, why don't you... get that before the Hasbro Legal Beagles do.
So you were already aware of Jim all the way back to the Amazon, I don't remember what it was called at the moment, but where he was publishing through Amazon.
Yeah, but I was not aware that it was him. Like, I didn't connect the dots until the edited version had come out as DC Jones and Adventure Command International. And I could like see it. And I was like, oh, it was the Mystery of the Sunken Tomb. I remember reading about this in my G.I. Joe Club magazine from many years back.
I think this is incredible. Now I want to reach out to him and be like, guess who I talked to today?
The guy that bothers you all the time.
I like Jim a lot. He and A have a great rapport. Every time he's been on Order of Battle, A has spent the first hour interviewing him before Joel and I get a chance to talk to him. It's a lot of fun. This is very cool. So you mentioned having the Joe Club magazine for a while. Did you ever have a dark period where you were in high school and quit playing with Joe's?
Where I stepped away?
Yeah.
Nope, not really.
Oh, my dude, that makes me so jealous.
I'm one of those rare folks that just never stopped adding. My wife is kind of making me pump the brakes a little bit, but...
Well, the two-year-old needs food too, right? When I talked to John, Bobby's dad, Bobby was Clanker and Tank.
Right.
John never had a dark period. And then when I talked to Raymond with Great White, he never had a dark period. Gabriel with Breacher, he's still 21, so he's also never had a dark period. I am thoroughly jealous of you guys. I had a long dark period, high school into my early 20s, and then I tried, but I was broke, and it didn't take, but I always wanted it to, and then the dark period extended. I'm very jealous. Since you didn't have a dark period, but you collect all the way back to 12-inch, are you also collecting the 4-inch, the O-ring, more of that middle years that you grew up with?
I'm not like wildly interested in getting too many more of the what's called the new sculpt, the spy troops and the others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of interested in getting the other DVD battle packs that came with a CD-ROM. Like it had a couple of G.I. Joe cartoons and a game to play and previews of the new product coming out in the next couple of quarters.
So that was that. What is that, like 2006-ish or 2004-ish? You're not talking about like the box sets that had the whole mass device.
No, it had just one figure and a CD and I think it was a sound attack weapon or something.
Yes.
Had a specially carved little chip on the end of it. You could put it in a couple of vehicles and it would make a different noise.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about now. It took me a minute because that is the portion of G.I. Joe that I am the most ignorant about. So you've been into this for a while. You've never had a dark period and you were part of the Joe Club. So you've also been fairly familiar with Carson for, I'm sure, years with 3D Joes. When he posted about Rotello and the Operation Recall entry, we know at this point that you submitted Lilith because Lilith got chosen, but was Lilith the only one you chose? And where did Lilith come from?
When I heard about the submission, I started drafting everything and then I submitted it really quickly once the submission was open.
Tell me about Lilith then, because you submitted three. Lilith evidently got chosen. I would love to hear about the others, but Lilith is the important one, right? So tell me about Lilith. Where does Lilith come from? You created as more military realism with a paratrooper instead of something a bit more sci-fi like Chris's Death Reaper or Raymond's Great White or even A's Shh, which is a ninja with a robot leg. Yours is much more grounded.
That concept for Lilith came from a few different places and then just kind of went and everything fell together. And I went, huh. If you've noticed on a couple of the more recent interpretations of Duke or even Flint, they're giving them G.I. Joe's traditional trademark scar from the 60s. A neat little feature that neither character had before, let's say, 5 or 7 years ago. And I thought about that, what if there was a female character that had that trademark scar? That'd be something different and that you hadn't seen before, either in the franchise or on many toys in particular. And that was something that I had had an idea of before I saw Carson's project. And when I say that, I do not mean by much. I was thinking about it probably 2 months before I saw the call for submissions. Once the call for submissions came, I was like, oh, this would be a really great opportunity to use that idea. Some people were talking about it like, oh, it's just crazy legs or a ripcord, but it's a girl. I actually was thinking more of Lady J when I created this character.
By that measure, everything we do is just somebody's something else.
Yeah.
So I kind of reject that. When I saw Lilith, I didn't think of crazy legs or ripcord. I just thought it's a lot more military grounded than it is sci-fi.
Yeah, because I wanted something that would show that there are women in armed service. And a lot of the other details about her and the submission kind of all fell together at the end. And it fit. At least to me, it did. And evidently, it did to Mark and Ron.
That's what's a lot of fun. Now, we're at a point when you and I are talking that we've already seen the ideation phase. A lot of us have already seen Larry's write-ups. And the line review is starting to happen now. Who picked up Lilith? Was it Ron or Mark?
Ron. Ron picked up.
Mr. Rudat, the original.
I was watching the... Carson dropped all the choices, but he said something to the effect of like Ron was spent 40 years harping about how he didn't get to do too many female characters and wanted to make sure he got a passel this time around.
Ron's the original, right? Like he is the Cobra symbol. He is Scarlet, Cover Girl, Lady J, Jinx, Baroness. Like,
and the Steel Brigade logo, I believe, too.
You're in great hands with a designer that wants to put the fight into a female character. I think that's fantastic. What did you, how did his ideations land for you? Do you like where he's going?
There were six ideations. I liked four of them. The other two, like you've been saying, they kind of wandered into the science fiction territory.
And that's what the ideation phase is for, right? If you like 100% of it,
right,
you know, maybe he's not stretching you enough. But to like four out of the six is amazing. Ron and Mark have such different approaches, as Mark's more of a comic book artist and Ron is more of a designer. I love seeing the different ways they take this phase. With Mark, you get a lot of ideas that may not be 100% fleshed out, whereas Ron, you get a lot of details.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hopeful that when the line review lands, whatever you gave Carson back and what Kirk sees when he looks across the spectrum of Lilith, it lands in a place that you're a little uncomfortable, but mostly very excited, right? Because then that's where they've actually taken your concept and done something with it.
And they should have plenty of room to do something because I left a reasonable amount of open for construction area.
Do you read Dan Klingensmith's Creating G.I. Joe books?
They don't ring a bell.
Okay. Book 9 and 10 just came out. And so I was just reading book 9 tonight. And in book 9 are two paratroopers who you just referenced, Crazy Legs and Ripcord. And what I noticed is both of them were originally slated to come with a working parachute. And so Ripcord's original parachute was pulled off of Ripcord and made the mail-away that we all know.
Yeah, the separate accessory.
Correct. And then Crazy Legs was just, for cost reasons, removed. And so I do hope that this gives them an opportunity to do a real parachute. I mean, that's my hope.
I did pitch her as coming with an operating parachute.
That would be lovely. And we saw with the nylon parachutes of the 4-inch Joes, it's possible. And it wouldn't be as flimsy and as weak as like the old stuff.
Right.
And, you know, the Skyspur Striker is supposed to come with those sort of nylon parachutes also. I think when I look at Lilith, that is the one thing that I'm really hopeful for is that we actually get a parachuting paratrooper out of this. Were you able to see or read Larry's file card on Lilith?
I could see it. I could see it in the YouTube video Carson posted a while back, but it was kind of hard to read it because it was super small.
Okay.
I believe I could read enough of it.
I'm floored by the idea that Larry is writing for you guys. You know, were you more cartoon or did you ever go back and read the Marvel 155 run and the special mission issues?
I did both, like everything else with my collection. I own many of the cartoons. I actually, for this past birthday, I got the boxed set, but I also did go back and read several back issues of G.I. Joe, the comic book.
So, what informs your canon when it comes to G.I. Joe? I mean, outside of your own personal headcanon, what informs like your baseline framework canon?
I kind of tend to the comic side of things a little more in terms of the canon. The cartoon or the old Sunbow cartoon is fun to watch, and I'll put it on while I'm doing the dishes kind of a thing. Resolute is a tremendous little piece of fiction in and of itself.
That is probably the best G.I. Joe movie we have out right now. It's a bit on the adult side for me. I want my Joe's a little bit more childish and or at least child accessible, but I do like Resolute a lot.
Like, I watched, we went to the movie. I can't remember if we actually went midnight or not, but we did see the movie opening day. I was like, I was younger then. I was like, wow, this is fun. And I'm like, even then I was like, this is a little weird. This isn't quite what we were all hoping for.
So I'm curious, like with Lilith coming, she was completely funded through the backer kit. As everybody's wrapping up their orders, getting their army builders, Lilith made it through as a unique character, not as, an army builder of paratrooping women.
In addition to making her, very obviously a woman and having a scar, she's got to have some sort of badass specialty. And I'm like, there are few more badass in the military than the airborne because they literally jump into it.
Well, yeah, you're a floating target.
Right.
You gotta have real, like nerves of steel for that one.
To pad the submission a little more, things just like once I decided that she was a paratrooper, that's when everything really did start falling into place. Like, oh, she's a paratrooper. She's got wings. You know who else has wings? Lilith, what some people in religions refer to as the first demon, or perhaps sometimes the mother.
Mother of demon. Yeah, first wife of Adam.
It's like, and demons are very commonly depicted as having wings. That's something that makes sense right there. Let's see what else. Let's see. Lilith, first wife of Adam, which means, oh, she's divorced. That's like the only character trait or, backstory detail that I put in her submission was that she was divorced. Let's see, Lilith was kicked out of the Garden of Eden because she wouldn't be subservient to Adam. Like, what if she's borderline insubordinate? Not necessarily completely insubordinate, but she's not gonna hedge around some words or phrasing.
She makes up with her insubordination with how damn good she is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole key, right? You can be good on time and pleasant to work with. You can choose
Yeah.
to. So she's chose. She's badass and on time.
Right.
That's awesome. Demon works really well when you've got a fighter.
Another detail too that I remember now, it was one that I included for posterity. I had figured this one out of my submission because I had initially thought that it was tasteless or borderline tasteless because I had but I included it anyway on the off chance that it wasn't, and my wife later informed me that it wasn't. It was the thought that she would be a breast cancer survivor and had a single mastectomy to hearken back to the original mythology of the Amazons that would take off one of their breasts in order to draw the string on their bow better.
And the wife signed off on that.
Yeah, she said, no, I don't think that's tasteless. I said, oh, okay. Silly me.
Yeah, well, legitimately, I'm sure there's quite a few women in the military that have had to not just fight the fight of being a military person, but that fight as well.
Right.
I know that Lilith is one of these that I'm very much excited for the gear. And using her along with Breacher and a couple of the others that are a little bit more realistic against General Mortiferro and Dark Reapers, although I still prefer the original name just because I think it's fun, although difficult to say. Great Whites and everyone else, the Cadavers. I'm very much looking forward to Cadaver versus Sh, but I'm also looking forward to maybe putting them back to back against a mutual foe at some point. Can you fight as allies with your enemy without worrying about when they're gonna get you in the back?
Right.
I'm loving this whole line. I'm loving the idea of putting this line with call sign longbow, which I don't know if you're in on call sign longbow at all.
Yep. I backed for two figures.
Nice. And with the O-ring, the Skeletron figure from RoboSkull.
There's a bit of a O-ring renaissance going on right now.
And you're a part of it now. Your name is officially a part of that renaissance. And not just that renaissance in a small way, but in a way that's connected to Ron Rudat and to Larry Hama, Kirk Bazigian, Ed Morrill, and Bill Merklin. I find that to be so exciting. The group of people that really were the drivers of not just our childhood, but our adulthood, right? How much space in your house or mine is dedicated to G.I. Joe? Why G.I. Joe? They were the ones. They're the why. They created this. And now you get to be intimately engaged with them from Larry writing the file card, taking your nugget of ideas, your Lilith demon, divorced cancer survivor, a little bit insubordinate, but so badass she can afford it, and writing that in Larry style. And then Bill crafting her by hand based on Ron's love of military women in the fantasy military action figure line is very exciting. Have you been able to connect with some of the other concept creators?
Well, I like to chat on our Facebook group and in our Discord. It gets kind of rowdy. You know, I am Facebook friends with several of you guys now.
Just like when I was talking to Chad or Raymond or to Chris or to David or Gabriel, I do hope that at some point you and A get to meet and interact, because you have Lilith, he has Shh, and for you to be able to also interact with all these others, you know, I think it's worth coming to at least the big show or one of the big shows so that you can hang out and talk to these folks.
I would love to come to a show. It's been ages since I've been with my people.
It's hard with a young child.
And there is another one coming in May.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Could be the Operation Recall 10th anniversary by the time I'm able to make one. But
it might be, but there's hope. And because there's three of you up there, I don't know how far Kalamazoo is from Des Moines, but I know in November, it's closer than Augusta, which is why I bring it up. In November, there's Assembly Required. And now Augusta, that's still the big show. But Des Moines is, and Assembly Required is top notch. And as we go forward, concept creators, you guys are going to show up at different shows. I'm going to bring A to different shows. It doesn't have to be in a decade, hopefully.
I would prefer it not.
Yeah, when you do get out here, like, it's going to be exciting to shake your hand, to introduce you to A, because he's one of you guys. This has been an Operation Recall Order of Battle.